This could be the most important volunteer activity you ever do, is by responding to one of our emails that says, please write your senator or your delegates and say, vote for this or vote against this because of this. And that's how we killed sales tax on services.
All right, time to tee up another episode of Future Proof, episode number 125 to be exact. How y'all doing? Doing well? Hanging in there? Finish your holiday shopping yet? Good question. Better get on that. If you're shopping online, you better get busy. Got to get that stuff delivered soon. Okay. I'm Bill, by the way. Nice to meet you. Let's start with this, shall we? This week's show is sponsored, as always, by the Business Learning Institute, which delivers competency-based curriculum, courses, content, and community to maximize career trajectories and grow intellectual capital for organizational and executive leadership. Hundreds of courses, dozens of instructors, unlimited customization. Find out how the Business Learning Institute can help you by visiting blionline.org. So, what are we talking about today? Today is legislation day here at Future Proof. State legislation, more to the point. I interviewed Brian Feldman last year. He's a state senator in Maryland and a CPA, by the way. Pretty cool. But anyway, he told me something that has stuck with me ever since. He said, what's going on in Washington, right? It gets all the headlines, but very little legislation with actual impact gets done at the federal level. Now that's changed somewhat with the pandemic and the economic relief packages that have come from Washington. But Senator Feldman's point is this: nearly all of the legislation that has a direct impact on our day-to-day lives happens at the state and local levels. That's really where we need to be paying attention. And so that's what we're going to be talking about today. So what's happening, right, at the state level that might have an impact on the accounting and finance world? Better question is, what's not happening, right? There's a lot going on in state capitals across the country that bears watching. And here to talk with me about all of this week is my guest. He is Tom Hood. He's president and CEO of the Maryland Association of CPAs and the Business Learning Institute. And yes, the issues we're talking about today are things that Tom is watching in Maryland. The state's General Assembly will open its 2021 legislative session on January 13th. Coming up quick, but listen to these issues closely, folks. These could be issues in any state in the nation. Nearly all states are either dealing with issues like these right now, or are watching these issues very closely in the event that they might have to deal with them at some point down the road. And here's an example: professional licensing. Okay, there's a movement afoot in parts of the country to weaken or eliminate professional licensing boards. And Hood explained it to me this way. He says, this typically starts with lower level licenses like tattoo artists and beauty technicians and the like. And folks like these might say, why do we have to follow all of these or licensure regulations, rather? They look at this as a barrier to employment, right? And in a lot of cases, they have a legitimate point, right? The problem arises when efforts like this start to include licensed professionals like CPAs and engineers. And that has actually come into play in some states. And the issues, issues like that make legislative advocacy on the part of CPAs and accounting and finance pros that much more important, right? Here's what Ken Tisiak says. He wrote an article for the Journal of Accountancy recently titled "Threats to Licensing Remain a Concern for CPAs Amid Pandemic." And he writes, quote, as state legislatures prepare to convene in January following an election year, the economic fallout from the coronavirus pandemic is posing new challenges to state professional licensing statutes that preserve CPA status as protectors of the public interest. Groups that have been lobbying for years against professional and occupational licensing can cite economic uncertainty related to the pandemic as a reason to relax professional standards for the purpose of opening up more job opportunities. But professional licensing advocates note that at a time when fraud risk is heightened, the services and assurance provided by licensed professionals is even more important to protect the public. Over a dozen states where licensing issues will be a top legislative priority are being watched closely, says Marta Zanuski. She's the AICPA's Vice President of State regulatory and legislative affairs. Zanuski says CPAs have a role to play in protecting licensing laws. She says, quote, the best way for CPAs to become involved is to educate the legislators in your state about what you do. What is the community you serve? How do you serve it? What are the assets and attributes you bring to your organizations and your companies and your communities? Zanuski says busy legislators may not be fully aware of the benefits of licensing and may need to be reminded of the public benefits that licensing regulations provide. The pandemic, meanwhile, may limit the length of legislative sessions and the open dialogue about the potential unintended consequences of deregulation. That's why CPAs and state societies who make their voices heard can make a difference. End quote. And again, that's from Ken Tisiak's article, Threats to Licensing Remain a Concern for CPAs Amid Pandemic. And man, the pandemic, that thing has had a huge impact on every part of our world, including legislative advocacy. As an example, okay, last spring, the MACPA and its legislative volunteers scored one of their most important and most exhilarating victories ever by leading a coalition of business groups that helped defeat an effort to impose sales taxes on professional services, like the ones that CPAs provide. Just days after that victory, the pandemic forced Maryland's General Assembly to adjourn nearly 3 weeks early. That's the first time a Maryland legislative session has ended prematurely since the Civil War, folks. And the pandemic has already shaped how this coming session is going to look. Tom and I talk about that in detail. More on that in a minute. And that sales tax on services bill last year, stuff like that is something you're going to want to pay attention to no matter what state you're in. State governments everywhere, they're hurting, folks. States have been hit hard financially by this pandemic, and they're going to try their damnedest to make some of that money back. So you want to have your antenna up and pay attention to what your lawmakers are doing going forward and what the possible unintended consequences of their actions might be. And like Marta Zanuski said earlier, be prepared to act on behalf of your organizations and your clients and your profession and your communities. So important stuff this week. Be prepared, okay? Be vigilant. Be on the watch, folks. And a good way to start is just to sit back and relax and listen to this week's episode. Here is my conversation with Tom Hood. Tom, thanks for joining me. So from what I've been reading, and there's been a lot of this in the Baltimore press anyway, that the 2021 session of Maryland's General Assembly sounds like it's going to be unlike anything else we've seen, which is saying something considering how last year went. So tell me how this one is going to be different.
Yeah, it's going to be very different, obviously, because of the coronavirus. You know, last year we concluded the General Assembly early because of the virus when the state mandate to shut down was, and it was the first time the General Assembly ended early since the Civil War. So, and then since then, right, there was a big sign outside of the Capitol on those big Capitol steps that we used to stand on as CPA Day that says closed to the public. And that's exactly how we're going to start the 2021 General Assembly on January the 13th. So it's a 90-day session, and we will not have any access to legislators in person.
Which makes advocacy a challenge. How do we navigate that? How does the profession kind of stay committed and legislatively involved in that kind of environment?
So we've been, like a lot of other things in the world right now, we're all reimagining what that can be like and how do we do it. So we've been talking to legislators. We've been talking to our lobbyist, Nick Manis. And what we're going to have to do is rely more than ever on our grassroots. And what I mean by that is we are going to do a virtual CPA day on January the 21st. And right now we're going to have a guest lineup, like the old CPA day. We're going to be having a couple of key legislators talk about what they see. And right now we know we have new Senate President, Bill Ferguson from Baltimore City, He's going to be one of our speakers. We'll probably have key people from budget and tax or some of the other key committees. We will be reaching out to the speaker and the governor to try to get some of the big perspectives in the room. But it'll be a 2-hour update on the critical issues. And what we're hoping for is I'd love to see 1,000 members on that Zoom call. And what we're going to do, Bill, is give them a protocol of sending out an email to their legislators, which we map everybody to with their addresses. And then they're going to send a note and say, hey, I'm at CPA Day. I'm a CPA in Maryland. I can't meet you in person this year, but I want you to know that these are the key issues that we care about as a profession. And just imagine if 1,000 or I'd love all 8,000, if 8,000 CPAs emailed their representatives, not with a specific ask, but saying these are the issues we care about. And I'm your CPA in your district. Wow, what that would do. And then when we have the big issue come up in a committee or come up on the floor, then we start to send out our alert and say, would all the members of this legislators that are on this committee, please email them about this issue. And that's how we would literally be even more formidable than if we did it in person.
It's amazing how, you know, the paradox there, right? I mean, it's like we've always been committed to doing this live in-person event and how impactful that is, and yet in this environment we won't be allowed to, but it could actually have even more impact than it's had in the past.
Exactly right. From what we are told, from other associations and other like lobbyists and people that are like in the know, we at the Maryland Association of CPAs over years, this has been going on for years, since when I was a volunteer, actually, before I had this job, we were doing this work. And we probably have one of the most effective grassroots groups in the whole country, but actually in Annapolis as well from the business group standpoint. And CPAs are the most trusted by the legislators. They actually love CPAs telling them what's going on and being able to be asked questions and stuff.
That's very cool. So, all right, last year, sales tax on services, on professional services, one of our huge wins last year before the pandemic, which seems like a lifetime ago at this point, given where the state is at budget-wise and the impact that the pandemic has had and all that kind of stuff, what are the odds that we might see a similar fight this time around?
So this is where you're going to hear, like Senator Feldman was on a call with our managing partners not too long ago, and he said you shouldn't see that come in. Last year, everyone said that wasn't coming in yet either. I will say, go on record, that I think there's a high risk. They're going to have to raise taxes some way to pay for all the COVID stuff. And obviously, there's a kabuki dance at the federal level, whether the CARES Act includes state government relief. If that doesn't happen, which is where they've been fighting over, the state's going to need money. They're spending a lot of money, rightfully so, and they're going to need to recover it. And so we're going to have to be on the alert, not just for sales tax and services, but other things that might not be implemented well. And that's what we'll be looking for.
What does the MACPA's agenda, legislative agenda, look like at this point? I mean, what are the issues that are top of mind for you and our members?
Biggest one is employer liability, employer and business liability for COVID in terms of the employment offices or the retail establishments. I think we watched Virginia implement one of the most onerous, first and most onerous regulation in the country, offering up to $130,000 fines for an employer who someone gets sick in your employ or in your retail establishment or restaurant. And how are you going to prove they actually got the virus from your spot?
Right.
So what the risk here is, Bill, you could be doing almost everything right, and on any given day, one thing or someone just comes in and blames you, you're going to have to defend that suit. So here's where I call it the lawsuit lottery, right? Someone that says, I need to claim from someone, so I'm going to just file a lawsuit. You'll get an attorney, a trial lawyer that wants to take it, and you have to defend it and prove yourself innocent, right? That's where it gets bad. And then on top of it, the state will investigate you under this regulation if we're trying to keep that regulation from coming into Maryland. But that's the situation. So,
so the idea here then is if you as an employer do everything you're supposed to, follow all the guidelines and the rules and in terms of workplace safety, making sure that your team is safe, and someone who works for you comes down sick somehow, that you as an employer shouldn't have to defend yourself against a lawsuit based on that.
That's correct. If you're following our guideline that's been done with the governor and the state of Maryland and includes the CDC, right? You helped us write it. That back to work guide has all the right stuff. If you do that, then you should not get sued for taking the best measures in the middle of this pandemic. And the other thing is that you hear this debate on Congress and even in Maryland, right? It's like all the big fat employers are the ones that are going to, you know, are negligent in this area, right? It's the small businesses or associations like us. We can't afford an army of lawyers to defend suits that could be frivolous. More than likely, that suit's going to come from a disgruntled employee.
Right.
Now, our goal is not to have disgruntled employees, but if you have one, they can go find a lawyer in a minute and say, oh, yeah, you have to prove yourself innocent. That's like a ton of time and money and risk from an employer standpoint.
Yeah. So, all right. So what else are we looking at?
So wait, there's two sides of that, right? We have to stop the regulation, like the groups that did it in Virginia spread to Maryland. So the labor unions and some other groups are trying to get the governor. In this case, it's going to go to the legislature. They're going to try to pass the regulation that's in Virginia, in Maryland, to make that onerous law and rule. On top of it, we're trying to be proactive and pass a rule that says, or a law that says, you can't sue if everybody follows the state and federal protocols.
Got it.
Okay. So it's defense and offense for that one bill, two sides.
Same type of issue. Yep. All right.
Clearly, sales tax on services. The other one would be elimination of professional licensing boards. Hmm. Not a high likelihood in Maryland, but this has been a trend around the country. And in an era of budget cuts and shortfalls, the notion of eliminating the licensure boards. Now, this typically starts at the lower level licenses, like, you know, tattoo artists or sometimes, you know, beauty parlors and things like that, that have health issues that are, in fact, legitimate, in my opinion. But they start to say, well, why do we have to have all these regulations? Because it's a barrier to employment. Now, when it gets up to the professional level, like a CPA or an engineer, but that's the problem. In some states, it's actually spread up to that level. We actually heard apparently someone that had a proposal to eliminate the doctor license.
Oh, my gosh.
So imagine going into your surgery and you're saying, doctor, can I check your rating on Yelp? Because you can't verify that he or she has real credentials.
Is that kind of an unintended consequence of this type of stuff? Or are people actually like targeting CPAs and engineers and doctors?
So the answer is the unintended consequence. Once they start looking for savings in the Department of Labor in these different states, right? And say, well, why do we have all this bureaucracy to approve licenses and exams and that? So then they say, what if we cut that? How much money would we save? That's where that goes. Then the second side of that, this is where the right and the left actually agree on something, which is even scarier. So then the left wants access to employment. The right wants to save money. The left wants to access to employment. So they're saying, well, you know, if you're licensed as a cosmetologist in Maryland, when you go to Arizona with your spouse who got a new job there, you're going to have to get relicensed in Arizona. And that's going to take time and cost you money while you can't work at your chosen profession, right? All those things. Now, this is where the good news is. All the work we did on substantial equivalency of license and firm license, that's not a barrier for CPAs. So in other words, you know, if I move to out where you are in St. Louis, I'm already qualified to practice in St. Louis. I don't have to jump through hoops and take another exam.
Gotcha.
So that's our defense against that. But that's so again, in an environment that's got heightened budget issues, that could show up again.
Anything else? What else is
Data privacy. Data privacy showed up last year. It's coming from Europe, the GDPR, and the California Consumer Protection Act. It's very, very onerous and costly for employers to implement. That's why we don't like it. We love the idea of privacy and security of your data, but we just think it's being done wrong. And so that's where we would want to have input. So we have to fight it in order to get a seat at that table. But that would be the other one that we're most worried about. Obviously, tort reform and some of those other evergreen issues are still on our watch list, but we're not sure. We don't think those are high at this stage.
Got it. What should members be doing at this point? Is it just basically we're just trying to get numbers registered for CPA Day and
CPA Day, right? Register for CPA Day, free 2 hours of CPAE. We're going to get you updated. Come to a town hall, because town halls are where we educate you so that when we get into the issues, you'll be ready to go. And then this could be the most important volunteer activity you ever do, is by responding to one of our emails that says, please write your senator or your delegates and say, vote for this or vote against this because of this. And that's how we killed sales tax on services.
Yep. And all this stuff, the town halls, CPA Day, I mean, pretty much everything is virtual at this point. So people don't have to worry about going anywhere. It's all online. And so there's no worries from that aspect.
Exactly.
Final thoughts, Tom, as we're gearing up for legislative season. I mean, what's top of mind for you?
Top of mind for me is I need as much member attention for that little bit of time for CPA Day, and to pay attention if we send out an email alert. Make sure your account is updated on our website so we're matching you to your right district. Your home address is most important. That's what's on my mind. I mean, we're going to need the power of our group, right? That's strength in numbers is the deal. So please, CPA Day, town hall, and let's do this.
All right, Tom, thank you for your time. I appreciate it. Looking forward to a strong kickoff to another legislative session, and just thanks for the insights.
Awesome. Thank you, Bill.
Okay, great stuff. Important stuff there from Tom Hood, President and CEO of the Maryland Association of CPAs and the Business Learning Institute. And boy, there's plenty that you can do to stay informed and to help. First of all, like Tom said, be sure to register for CPA Day in Annapolis. You don't have to go anywhere. It's all virtual. It's on January 21st. It's free. It's worth 2 hours of CPE. Most important, it's one of the best ways you can make a difference legislatively, hands down. Okay, get details and register at macpa.org/CPA Day. Next, consider a donation to our political action committee. The PAC helps us work toward legislative wins on issues that impact you, right? Also, if you know a legislator personally, you'll want to join our Key Person program, and then follow the progress of key bills as they are introduced starting in January. So details on all of that is available at macpa.org/advocacy. And if you're outside Maryland, check in with your own state CPA society, right, to see how you can help locally. And you might also want to check out the AICPA's advocacy resources at AICPA.org/advocacy. And finally, don't forget, this week's sponsor is the Business Learning Institute. The BLI's Future Ready Learning Framework outlines the skills that CPAs need to thrive in the rapidly changing world of accounting and finance. That framework is all about gaining and maintaining deep technical knowledge while building a strategic skill set. And here we're talking about strategic aptitudes that have been identified as most crucial for tomorrow's CPAs. Start mastering these future-ready skills now by visiting macpa.org/future-learning-framework. That's it, gang. See you at CPA Day. Have a great week. Talk to you soon.